So for my sermon this morning, I do my annual report, and the reason for that is years ago, as I labored over this silly annual report, I was trying to figure out, what is this for? other than you know, fulfilling requirements. And it kind of came to me that basically this is a tool for discernment. You know, who are we? Where have we been? What have we been up to? Not just a recounting of we did A, B, C, D, but where's the flow of the Spirit through all of this? And as soon as I thought of that, then it turned from a report into a sermon. And then I thought, instead of doing a sermon and the report on this Sunday and kind of giving you way too much information, let's turn the report into the sermon. And it makes it a little bit longer, but I'm hoping you kind of get the flow and can kind of just flow with the flow, the light of Christ that shines through this place. You know, with all our foibles, all our failings, yet there's something very holy here, and it's good for us to remember that at least once a year. So here we go. In our reading from Mark 1, Jesus goes to the synagogue in Capernaum and preaches. What he says astounds the congregation and resounds in their hearts. Jesus' presence is like a sounding bell, calling them to attention, ringing with the voice of deep truth. Just then, a man bound and oppressed by an unclean spirit appears, interrupting the smooth flow of the service. Into this chaos, Jesus speaks with authority, bringing deep stillness into the community and setting the burdened man free from all that has held him down. This is the gospel's way of describing the work of the church. We are the body of Christ. We are to be like Jesus, entering into the deep stillness of God, allowing our lives to ring with the truth of divine love, so we can respond to the chaos of our time with steadiness and faithfulness, helping to set our world free from all that holds us down. So, how have we done this at South Church this past year? Well, as in our gospel, the place to begin is with worship. With the help of the diaconate, whose members ring our church bell each Sunday as a way to call us to attention and stillness, we have gathered close, week by week, to the love of God in Christ that sets us free, transforming our chaos into something holy and deep. I am privileged to lead such worship and to work with such a creative team that supports not only thoughtful sermons and creative liturgy, but also dialogue sermons, conversations with the congregation, tender talks with the children, moments of silence, inspiring hymns, elegant responses and anthems, beautiful floral arrangements, and an attention to detail that makes worship rich and full. The diaconate, chaired by Cindy Dickinson, is at the center of this steady, faithful effort. It also includes the creative energy of our music director, Tom Damrosch, with whom I meet weekly and who joins us for most diaconate meetings. Cindy initiated a new worship subcommittee this past year that I find quite helpful in our planning. Tom takes our worship ideas and crafts musical components for each service with the help of our faithful chancel choir. For special Sundays, Tom does a masterful job of supplementing the choir with superb soloists and instrumentalists. In addition, the flower committee provides beautiful arrangements on the communion table each Sunday, except for today. And then I also have the joy of leading monthly worship with a wonderful group at Berkshire Place with the assistance of Ruth Austin and Karen Allender. In addition, this past year, we had the joy of our quiet day during Advent that included worship in the sanctuary and time in Barrett Hall for a film, an opportunity to walk a labyrinth, create mandalas, and engage in other art projects, along with the potluck lunch. In September, we joined with Second Church for worship at the Pittsfield State Forest. This was well attended even on a very rainy day and included special art for the children and an indoor picnic for us all. In June, the diaconate joyfully assisted me in receiving three new members into the life of the church, Tom Damrosch, Ginny Derwin, and Judy Thompson. In April, we held our South Church Seder to remember the events of Passover in the context of our Lenten journey, and as always, offered us the opportunity to deepen our experience of the upcoming events of Holy Week. We also hosted an ecumenical Good Friday experience in our parlor for the community. We also shared in joint worship with the downtown Protestant churches on Reformation Sunday and New Year's Eve. This is an exciting, growing edge. But by far, the most joyous special service of the year was Celebration Sunday in November. I was amazed at the creative energy that went into the service and was overjoyed to have my mentoring pastor, Reverend Dennis Bailey, as the preacher. This was a remarkable way to honor my 35 years as an ordained minister. I was especially moved by the laying on of hands led by Reverend Art Kaufman and joined by all the adults and children of the church. I'm also grateful for all the cards, gifts made to the pastor's discretionary fund, the elegant stole presented to me by Pam Coopers, and the framed sequential photo of the recent total solar eclipse. It's in my living room. This service alone will energize my spirit for many years to come. Thanks to everyone who helped ring the bell of faith this past year as we shared the life of worship and helped one another remember something deeper in the chaos of our time. South Church is a mission church. From its founding in 1850, in the midst of the struggle to set our country free from the scourge of slavery, to the present time, this congregation has been involved in the work of healing and setting free. As you can see in the mission report from Sue Kaufman, over $15,000 was given to mission projects this past year. Through the monthly Bread and Roses Coffee House concerts, donations to the Language Project, dinners and concerts in Baird Hall, donations from the mission budget and capital fund drive, and special offerings, much needed assistance was given to many local and international causes. Beyond this, the food ministry at South, under the direction of Mary Wheat and her pantry team, was as dynamic as ever. I had the privilege at the pantry Christmas party to share a few words with our volunteers. There were over 80 people in attendance, from First Church, Second Church, Catholic parishes, other Protestant congregations, and those of no particular parish. Yet here they all were, in my words, being the hands of God's love in Christ for the world. All those tender faces of volunteers from many walks of life who unload and distribute vast quantities of food, give books to children and adults, offer clothing to those in need, listen to stories of struggle, joy, and grief, serve a hot meal every Wednesday evening, channeling the light of love to those who frequently exist in the shadows, forgotten or ignored by our hectic and judgmental culture. This is a remarkable ministry, and the numbers are stunning. Over 5,000 hot meals were served at St. Joseph's Kitchen at South Church. At least 500,000 pounds of food were distributed at the weekly pantry. This means 10,000 pounds of food are unloaded from delivery trucks each week, on average. The Western Mass Food Bank estimates the value of these pounds at $1.67 per pound. This means in dollars that we distributed $835,000 worth of food last year. This is 2.5 times our total church budget. Many congregations have a goal of giving 10% of their budget to missions. Not many are able to donate 340% of their budget. Duh. In addition, there is the work of the Thanksgiving Angels that has been led by Mary Wheat, Mary Rentz, and others, and hosted here at South Church for the past 6 years. This Thanksgiving distribution that involves 17 local pantries, and again, a whole bunch of ecumenical interfaith volunteers, raised over $45,000 this past year. On the Monday before Thanksgiving, they distributed frozen turkeys, frozen pies, fresh veggies, and many other foodstuffs to about 1,400 families. Since many of these individuals represent larger families, one estimate is that the Angels helped nourish about 10% of the Pittsfield community that week, along with families from the wider Berkshires. There was one older woman who arrived in the middle of the day from Beckett who wondered if she could get in line or get a turkey. And I said, we got turkeys, get in line, it'll be fine. All of this is clearly the result of immense vision, the hard work of many hands, and the ability of South Church to stretch and grow even when it's a challenge. and most importantly, the presence of the Spirit of Christ multiplying our efforts and setting people free. This is the gospel being lived out in our time and place. I continue as president of Berkshire Interfaith Organizing, BIO, this past year, and along with our delegate Peggy Walsh, helped guide this growing interfaith effort and its mission to create positive change in the Berkshires. BIO continues to work on food insecurity, seeking out food resources as well as resources for a new local food hub that might help relieve some of the pressure on our pantry, which is by far the largest in the county. I represented BIO on a panel addressing bigotry and hate and have been involved in developing community support for undocumented immigrants in the county. A sanctuary network team has been formed to seek out possible sanctuary sites and develop ways to accompany immigrants. Cindy Haven and new member as of 2018, Barbara and Doug Brand, are very involved in these efforts. Barbara is co-chair of this team, and Doug will be an added delegate to BIO from South this coming year. In addition, the MICA celebration in October that honored those in member congregations who embodied the spirit of the prophet Micah, who calls us to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God, was a huge success with over 300 in attendance. I was privileged to co-lead the event and was overjoyed to assist in the honoring of our own John and Lois Moore for their lifetime efforts of seeking justice, loving kindness, and being the humble, faithful souls they are. South Church has a vital Christian education program thanks to the faithful efforts of Ann Roach and her team that includes Rachel Roach, Bev Kroll, and for the past 18 months, our Pearson intern, Jim Day. Ann utilizes the Whole People of God curriculum that deepens the life of faith for our children and offers materials to their families. Ann brings a tender and loving spirit to our church school. Bev Kroll brings her creative music into the mix season by season, and we are all the beneficiaries. Jim Day has been our 17th Pearson intern. First one was back in 1992. And Jim has brought his artistic ability and tender presence to our church school as well as to our wider congregation. Jim has also shared his art and ministry of presence at St. Joe's Kitchen, the pantry, and at the Cathedral of the Beloved on Sunday afternoons. His has been a remarkable and resilient ministry among us, and Ann is hoping we can find a way to continue his presence with the church school and church in some way this coming year. So I'll bring that up during the annual meeting. The trustees, under the steadfast leadership of John Robertson, has completed the work of stretching for God's future capital fund drive. The sanctuary roof was replaced this summer, and with remaining funds, the lighting of the church is being updated to LEDs. My office now has light again. To celebrate the completion of these efforts, a wonderful lunch was held at the Country Club of Pittsfield on the same day as my ordination celebration. It was an awesome combined event. I am so grateful to John Robertson for being such a partner in this work of ministry that it was a joy to share the limelight with him. As he departs from the Board of Trustees for a well-deserved break, others will pick up the energy and hopefully we'll have solar panels on our roof before long. The trustees are also in charge of our sexton and secretary. Joey Johnson has been with us for over a year and is doing a remarkable job of cleaning, setting up, organizing, and assisting in every way he can. Paula Haskell continues to work wonders in the office and is the administrative genius that holds what John Robertson calls South Church Industries. They are both such gifts to this church, and so are the trustees. They have done a remarkable job of managing our finances, overseeing groups that use the facilities, coping with inspections, and tending to all that breaks in this aging facility. I'm also grateful for the work of our networking committee that has done so much to give us a presence on social media. Aaron Murphy and Darlene Berryman are often posting photos. Bob Hill posts my sermons on our website. I've learned how to post my weekly worshipful thoughts on our Facebook page. In addition, I continue to post a weekly worship update in the Berkshire Eagle. And our epistle continues to be a vital ministry, keeping everyone informed as to events and for sharing deeper thoughts about our life together. With Priscilla and John Anthony now at Kimball Farms, Paula is doing more of the epistle. Thank you, Priscilla, for heading up this ministry since 1983. And thank you, Paula, for keeping it going. I have thoroughly enjoyed having Gene Robertson as moderator. We have met monthly, usually at Gene's house for lunch, to talk over, and she makes good lunches, to talk over joys, concerns, and issues. It has been a year of responding to the challenges of our time and for all the issues that arise. Gene has been a great partner. Thank you, Gene. I will miss our good friends, Bob Blayfield and Ralph Sanfloni, each of whom gave immense gifts to us all and are profoundly missed. Thanks to Ruth Austin and all those who host those wonderful, gracious funeral receptions. This is such a gracious ministry that brings comfort and healing in times of grief and loss. And then I got to this point, I had to say, more could be said about our Lenten book study, the Lord and Taylor thrift shop, those who organize our tag sales and craft fair, our Miss Hall's interns at the pantry, my speaking twice a year at Berkshire Community College, and the list goes on. And as I was reading this, I was just remembering, I didn't say anything in here about Priscilla Bailey's amazing bequest to the church of $186,000. That's that was in the, you know, it's in the financial report. And where would you put that? It's just in there. So with all that said, to close, how have we helped set our world free this past year? In Christ, we have shared in ministry, one with another and with our wider community. It is hard work. It is an immense gift. And for all of it, I am grateful. For in sharing together, we are all set more free to love and serve and to be made whole. Amen.